Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, we see the return of Elysium and the Elysium Project to our cosmic spirituality conversations. And I'm very honored to be starting this new round of dialogue with Michael and Diane Duncan of the Worldwide Religion of Love. Greetings and welcome, Michael and Diane. How are you?
Well, doing very well tonight, Hercules. Thank you so much for having us on today. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I've been looking forward to this for a while, and I'm glad it's finally happening. And as I stated a minute ago, I'm very honored to be starting with both of you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we do feel honored. We really do. And we thank you so much. I mean, it's interesting, you know, I just was looking through one of my little catalogs I get, you know, and they had the most beautiful statue of Hercules in it.
Oh,
just beautiful, with him drawing a bow and arrow, and then his magnificent lion, a lion carcass head over his head and shoulders, you know. And it was so gorgeous. I couldn't help thinking of you all day when I got that.
Thank
it's the
you.
Creations catalog.
I will be actually on this weekend. Our town is celebrating Independence Day early, and they've asked me, the Chamber of Commerce has asked me, to help give out those light bracelets. And I'll be wearing my lion carcass. It's artificial, mine, but I'll be wearing that as I give out the lights. I thought the symbolism was very apt and the honor was very great, so I accepted it. So thank you for thinking of me with the statue of Hercules.
Oh, it was. I just couldn't take my eyes off of it. You know, I opened up the catalog, and I've never seen that offered before, and it was just magnificent. You know, he's so strong and powerful, his chest and the lion head, you know, and over his shoulders, and then he's drawing a bow and arrow. I mean, oh, my golly. I couldn't help thinking, you know, of you and all that you're doing, and you turned your life into like a Hercules, you know, seeking truth and with noble ideas.
It
overwhelmed me.
Thank you so very much. It means a lot to me. And I'm overwhelmed with the both of you. You started off with a magisterial mission of Maitreya. You moved to the sixth revelation, and now you're launching Worldwide the Religion of Love. You're connected not only with the Urantia book, but with various theosophical efforts and the Maitreya Great Tao. And you've been very steadfast in creating a holy environment in your homes and welcoming other people and spreading what it is that you do. So that needs to be acknowledged and celebrated. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to, again, this is going to be like a reintroduction of both of you. And also, we're going to return to several things that we used to do in the past, but stopped. And the first one is our monthly conversation, where we would have other people from cosmic spiritualities, and we would discuss a particular topic.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm looking forward to bringing back. So you both lived very spiritual lives from very early on. And would you care to share how your path brought you together and to creating a brand new spiritual path?
Well, yes. Yes. Thank you, Hercules, for giving us this opportunity. You know, Michael and I, we really feel, now I know this is very hard for people to understand, and a lot of people don't believe in reincarnation and things like that, but Michael and I really feel like that we have lived lives before together. And that in this life, we really found each other and are beginning a new phase in our lives. But it's only continuing what we've been doing in the past, we feel. And this, I know, sounds very strange to people, you know, because the idea of reincarnation is not really prevalent today. But Michael and I just fell into it, and they told us. They have told us that we have been together lifetime after lifetime. And, you know, it's funny, but the other night, Hercules, we were just, actually it was what, a couple of days ago?
I'm not sure where you're going.
Well, just a couple of nights ago, we were, you know, just talking before going to sleep. And I was talking to the Father while I was laying there, asking him some questions, you know, because of all the things that are going on in the world. But then I came to the thought that I asked him a question about Michael and I and about ourselves. And I asked him, I said, well, and everybody, because this question was really began with everybody, my asking about everybody. Does everyone have a name? Everyone have a name in every single universe and every single planet that the celestials know them by a name? And they said, you know, then I said, well, I didn't finish the question. I said, well, you know, is it like, do we all have a number? Like is Michael 1, 2, 9, 5, 3, 4?
She's speaking on a cosmic level.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Does everyone have a cosmic number?
Right.
Or like a cosmic name, like an eternal name, you know, that the celestials or the space gods, you know, reference us with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. A name that they know us by, every single person in every planet and every solar system and every universe. And they said, yes, that every person has an eternal name.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought of that, Hercules, that maybe that in another life you were called a different name and maybe another level a different name, but you have maybe an eternal name for your spirit by the celestials?
Yes, I've thought of that, and I've pursued that in my own meditations and explorations. And to the best of my understanding, even while we exist here, we exist in other places as well, and we don't always have the same name in these other places. We have different names. And when I used to work very much with dreams, and I used to remember like 10 to 12 dreams a night, I had started encountering other people who I had met in dream in the waking world, and they remember too. And some of them even remembered my name in those dreams that I had. And on my current spiritual path, the higher you go, the closer you are to your eternal self. And your eternal self is one of the eternal archetypes. So you are the power that you serve, the power that you seek, the power whose stories you live. So in that sense, it's very true as well. And even if you approach it from different cultures, we've learned through comparative mythology and high magic and other disciplines that the gods have many different names in different cultures here on this planet. And sometimes if you look beyond the cultural mask, you'll find the power behind it, and it you know it under a different name sometimes. So yes, I've thought about that quite a lot, and I've gotten answers to that question several times. Each time the answer made sense in my current level of understanding, so I'm sure that there's more that I don't know yet.
Well, hey, you know, Hercules, I mean, it's pretty much you know when you know you don't know. You know what I mean? And gosh, you know, we've been trying to figure this life out, this Earth existence out, since we first came together. You know, going back to your question about, you know, early on we had found our spirituality, or we had begun our quest, you know, like our spiritual quest. I know Diane has a story about when she was 5 years old. There was a hand, a big hand that was held out. She was sitting in the hand, and she said, you know, I want the truth. Please give me the truth, you know, in a kind of a big general cosmic truth way, or the cosmic truth in that way. For me, it began, you know, I've always been an artist. I'm a singer. I'm a poet. Mm-hmm. I'm an artist, you know. I've always been kind of sensitive to kind of the finer subtleties of life, I guess you could say, like artists are. But it wasn't until I was about 13, I was sitting in church. I grew up Methodist, and I was sitting in church, and, you know, I was hearing the stories of the Bible, and I was hearing about the life of Jesus and mixing with all the people and their ideas and, you know, sermons and hymns and things like that. And I said to myself, you know, there's got to be more to it than just this. I mean, it was good. I mean, you know, with Christianity, you get, you know, you get kind of an ethical, moral basis. You know, you get a community of believers who pray together. They worship God, and they try to be good generally, I think, you know. But I said there was something more. So when I went to college, my first couple years of college, I had an English class in my first college, and I had a really wonderful teacher. I've since tried to contact her, but I'm not quite sure where she is. Her name was Fleur Kinney, and she introduced me to one of the books that was on the reading assignment called Way of the Peaceful Warrior. By Dan Millman. There's a movie of it with Nick Nolte, pretty good movie. So that started getting me into kind of a more Eastern way of thinking, a more Zen-like type of thinking, spirituality, with meditation and vegetarianism, being mindful, you know, trying to find your part in the universe, you know. And I think that was kind of a preparation for me to meet Diane again in this life. And we took to each other really quickly. I mean, Diane can tell you, and she's told on YouTube, also on our YouTube channel, some of her experiences of where she had dreams of me before we even met.
Oh, wow.
You know, so from the very beginning, Diane and I were very, very similar in that we were kind of on a truth quest. So, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. We're on a truth quest. We had to take care of some family issues and family members and things like that along the way. But we always delved into theosophy, like you talked about in your introduction. We're members of the Theosophical Society, members of Maitreya Great Tao, which is a kind of a Buddhist, Confucius, Taoist spirituality, and most recently, the Urantia book. But Hercules, you talk about the space gods, and I think it really started, I think we kicked it into overdrive when Diane had her encounter with the local universe father, whom we now know is Zeus. And, of course, his divine consort, local universe mother, Hera. So that's when our ministry kind of kicked into overdrive. We had kind of moved away from the family obligations a lot, and we picked it up there. And ever since, we've encountered the magisterial mission, the sixth revelation, and now the worldwide religion of love. So here we are.
yes, you are. And as you pointed out, you are an artist. Diane is an artist also. I love her artwork. And you have a YouTube channel. You're also a musician. And
yes.
I want to play
yes.
one of your songs so that people can hear your music, you know, because it's very beautiful and very uplifting.
Thanks.
So we'll do God Bless the World, and then we'll be back.
All right.
Thank you. Okay.
God bless the world. 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 God bless the world.
God bless us all.
God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world.
Dear Lord, shine your face upon us and bless us, every one of us.
God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. Sing it with me.
That was God Bless the World by Michael Duncan. What a wonderful and uplifting song, Michael.
Well, thank you, Hercules. I really appreciate that. And thanks for playing it. I'm glad we got to hear the full version of that because, you know, it kind of kicks in with that the distortion guitar and the lead guitar there, you know, in the last couple of verses, so to speak, you know. It's funny, Hercules, you know, because we talk about the space gods and, you know, I think we'll be talking about how we communicate with them too and how much a part of our lives they are. That particular song, God Bless the World, just kind of came to me out of inspiration of the Worldwide Religion of Love because we had started talking to Gabriel, who is also known as Hephaestus, Gabriel in the Urantia book, son of the local universe, father and mother, and Hephaestus in the Greek, and of course Aphrodite, or Aphrodite, who is the bright and morning star, feminine aspect that is talked about in the Urantia book. But they said, you know, start praying for the world. Start sending out good thoughts about them. So I was up in our great room where we do talk to the celestials often, and I was looking out the window, because we're on like a second story up there in the great room. I was looking out the window, and I just had a real feeling of love for the world. You know, I know people are bad. I know people are good. You know, we've got some people doing bad things, people doing bad, good things. But I just had an overwhelming sense of love. So that melody, that God Bless the World melody, just kind of came to me, and I just kind of kept repeating it as kind of a mantra while I was mm-hmm. praying for the world. So that's how that came about.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you, and you blessed us with that song and with very many others. How can people access your music?
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel. We've got a lot of our songs and a couple albums on our YouTube channel, which is Michael and Diane Duncan. D-I-A-N-N-E, last name Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N, Michael and Diane Duncan. Also, if you put, if you search Reverend Michael Duncan in Amazon, Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify. You'll get our 5 Urantia Book inspired albums.
Wow, that is a lot of creativity.
You know, Hercules, Michael and I are both artists,
yes.
And we are both singers, because I had a career early in my life too. But there's more than that. Michael and I are both Scorpios. For those people who like to study astrology, we're both Scorpios.
I have a tattoo of a scorpion on my arm, on my left arm, to commemorate a pre-dynastic Egyptian incarnation I had.
Oh.
Oh, wow. How about that? Well, look at that.
But what I wanted to get back to was that the other night we were trying to find out what our eternal name was, if there was one. And they said that there was, and that we did have. And I said, well, could you give it to us like in an English version, please? You know, who knows what they have. But they said that first, I asked, well, sometimes I ask them because it's easier for me if I start out like with alphabet letters. So I said, well, what's the first letter of my name? And or the second letter and so forth. And they said that both Michael and I, our first letters were L, E-L, E-L, E-L for me and E-L for Michael. And I said, well, that's interesting. But, you know, then I kept going on. And then Michael said, oh, well, maybe it's Eleanor for you, Diane. Didn't you, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
He said, Eleanor. And I said, well, I said, is that what it is? And they said, well, it's Eleonora.
Mm.
That my divine name, eternal name, was Eleonora, to be shown to us in English. And then I thought, well, that's interesting, because that's one of the only really modern names that is in the Urantia book. And Eleonora was a girl, a physical girl on a planet, that sacrificed herself to save her people during the Lucifer Rebellion in the Urantia book, Eleonora. So that was my divine name. And then we went with Michael, and the further that we could get with him was El Amon. And I thought, well, that's interesting too, because, you know, Michael, his middle name is Michael.
Yes.
But do you know his first name, Hercules?
I don't think so.
No.
Well, I think she's probably going to tell you right now.
That's what I'm guessing.
Well,
yeah.
When I had my visions of Michael back in 1985, and it was Gabriel that brought Michael in with him to visit me during my meditations in 1985, and Gabriel would bring him in, and there was a young man behind him following behind. And later, the young man in my visions grew up, and we were out by the ocean walking. And one time I asked him, well, what is your name? And we were like in the bottom of like the Grand Canyon or something. It was actually like that, with cliffs above us. And he said, well, you can call me Jesus Amon. And I said, well, I can't call you Jesus because in my culture we hardly do that. But since then I've learned that in the Hispanic they do name
yeah.
a lot of their people. Jesus.
Jesus,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, that's all right. You can call me Amon. And I said, well, thank you. I wanted a name. So what happened is after I finally met Michael in 1991 on May 8th, and we got together after a few months, I told him, I took him out to the Ritz-Carlton at the ocean where we walked in my meditations, and I told him that he told me that his name was Amon when we were in those meditations out by the ocean. And so what he did, what Michael did, he changed his first name to Amon. So Michael is Amon Michael Duncan. And I thought that was very interesting because he really felt that what I was saying was important enough to actually go and legally change his name. So people at his work, they say, "You're Amon," you know, I mean, he's got blonde hair and blue eyes, and this is an Egyptian name, you know. And he said, "Yeah, that's me."
Well, Eleonora means shining one, a being of light, and the L part stands for the Elohim, and the Amon in the ancient times, it was a god who was often associated with Zeus and the sun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And there's Amun Ra, of course, of the you know, Akhenaten and the Egyptians.
Yes, that's true too.
Yes, Amon. There's a story in Herodotus when Hercules was seeking to find out his divine parentage. Who was his father? He went to the shrine of Amon in Libya, and Amon spoke with him and gave him an adventure to go on to discover who his father was. And Hercules didn't realize that his father gave him that quest. So he was talking to Amon all along, and Zeus Amon became blended together in later antiquity, and they were often thought of as interchangeable. So his shrine became a temple of Zeus.
Zeus Amon. Mm-hmm.
And the Argonauts met him too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I just wanted to say, but Michael and I go back in various lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And after I found the Urantia book in 1985, the same year that Michael came into my visions, and we joined the Urantia Society in 2011, soon after that we joined them, they told us that I was a reincarnation of Ellen White.
Mm-hmm.
And that he, later we found out, that Michael was a reincarnation of John Harvey Kellogg. Now, John Harvey Kellogg went to live with Ellen White when he was 12 years old, and she taught him and mentored him and paid for his education as a doctor and so forth, and they truly loved each other very much. But she as a mother, and more he as a son. And she cared for him all her life. And it's interesting because she and John were both 26 years apart. And Michael and I are exactly 26 years apart. And they tell us that we've come back in this lifetime to see what had been done with the Urantia book, to see that it had been published, and to see what was going on. And, you know, when we went to the very first meeting at Robert Burns for a study group, before we stepped over the threshold of the door, I told Michael, I said, "You know, you're going to be the president of UBLA, and it won't be very long." And, of course, they did. 3 years later, they made him president of Los Angeles, UBLA, Urantia book.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So we feel that we have come back to see what has happened and what is going on, and to bring forth what is in the Urantia book, that there would be a magisterial mission. And in 2017, in March 20th, we put out that Maitreya was bringing forth the magisterial mission that was in the Urantia book that was to come. And then Maitreya came to us, and we've had 38 meetings with him. So that was supposedly our previous life, to have brought forth religions and to have brought forth the Urantia book, which we are saying that Michael, as John Harvey Kellogg, wrote with Ellen together. So this is the situation. We have now come to the point where we are bringing forth a new religion together, the worldwide religion of love. And that was given to us by Gabriel, who came to me and brought Michael to me in 1985. And we feel that the culmination of all of that was to bring forth this new religion now, after the Arantra book, and after the Seventh-day Adventist religion, too. So that's where we feel that we are right now, bringing forth this worldwide religion of love. And, of course, Michael could tell you more what we're doing now on that.
I look forward to hearing it again. And how has the reception been from other readers of the Urantia book? Because you brought a sixth revelation and now a new religious expression. Are people who read the Urantia book receptive to your message, or are they not?
We have Gerald T. Farley, who is on the board of the teaching mission of the Arantia book. And he is completely in accord with what we are saying. And he wants us to be on the teaching mission board. But we feel that we are, we're going in a different direction with this new religion. But he and Jim Cleveland, we've talked much with him too, and he is in accord with us. He's the head of the teaching mission of the Arantia book. There are many people, Diane LeBrec, who is in contact with me. She's in, of course, Canada, so she's, you know, a ways away, but we contact by phone. There are some that are very much in accord with what we are saying, especially Gerald trying to help us through Jim, because the teaching mission is where the prophesying is really coming through. Mm-hmm. And the regular Urantia book, they read it, but they don't really have they're not really getting it from the celestials themselves.
Right.
And the teaching mission feels that they are. And we know that we are too. And so I think that now we've brought Gerald in with our regular program, and he is in full support because he also believes that the celestials can contact people and are contacting us, especially in this regard. So Michael can kind of tell you what was going on now.
Thank you. That was very illuminating, Diane. Thank you.
Sure.
Oh, would you like me to kind of explain a couple of things here?
I would love it.
Okay. Well, you talked about reception, how people are receiving, this new outgrowth of our ministry that kind of started, like I said, a new phase started with the Urantia book, with our studies with the Urantia book. Of course, our preparations had been Theosophy and Maitreya Great Tao and Rosicrucian and, you know, lots of other spiritualities. So when we got together with the Urantia book community in 2011, like Diane said, I became the president of the Urantia book Society of Los Angeles. And then it was only a little while after we started with that study group that Diane was talking about in Irvine, California, with Robert Burns. It was only a little time after that that I began to wonder who wrote the Urantia book, because nobody really knows. You know, they say it was channeled by a sleeping subject. You know, many people don't believe that, but some do, how it came to be, so on and so forth. And I was really curious, and I asked her, I said, Diane, you do a lot of prophecies. I mean, you talk to the celestials constantly since you were five, knowing the truth, right? So she said, I think it's a woman. Smells like a woman. So we started delving into it, and lo and behold, we found that that Ellen White was connected with John Harvey Kellogg, and John Harvey Kellogg was the mentor of the Contact Commission, the quote-unquote Contact Commission that received the papers from the Celestials that became the Urantia book. So we kind of delved in, well, not kind of, a lot. We delved into it and wrote a big 21-page paper on it that Ellen White was the true author of the Urantia book and that John Harvey Kellogg was in there somewhere. We've since found out that we think they wrote it together. Because John Harvey was brilliant and he had the scholarship and Ellen White had the visions and everything like that. So that paper, there were a lot of mixed reviews on that paper because we sent it out to a lot of people with whom we had contact as the Urantia book president, you know, Los Angeles Society president. So there were a lot of mixed reviews on that. But it was interesting, Hercules, because when we were going to the study group with Robert, a fellow by the name of Matthew Block started putting out parallels of Urantia book material. He was finding passages and paragraphs and concepts from other writers who were contemporary with John Harvey Kellogg's nephew-in-law, William Sadler. And these authors were contemporary with William Sadler, and like I said, whole paragraphs, concepts, sometimes verbatim, were in the Urantia book. So we were saying to ourselves, you know, how could this be celestially done or celestially channeled when, you know, there's human source material? And of course, they do say in the Urantia book there is human source material, but a lot of people since have debated, you know, where that came from. A lot of people think William Sadler wrote the book, but we just didn't think that he had really the intellectual prowess, and he was kind of young. So in our ministry, in our Urantia book ministry, and in our quote-unquote sixth revelation ministry, we were starting to show some inconsistencies with the Urantia book. And if Diane was the author as Ellen White, and if I was the co-author as John Harvey Kellogg, we were finding that people had put their fingers into the pie a lot, adding a lot of stuff. And Robert Burns was even saying, yeah, they took out lots of papers and things like that, you know. So we began to question a lot of things. And then when we met you, Hercules, we started really shifting into the sixth revelation. Mm-hmm. See, the Urantia book is the self-proclaimed fifth revelation, Jesus being the fourth, and so on and so forth. But when we met you, we shifted into a new ministry where it was about the space gods and what the space gods are doing now, not just what they were doing, well, not just what they were doing in 1955 when the Urantia book was published, that snapshot that they give us of the Celestials. So we started moving into the sixth revelation, which was, what are the Celestials doing now, you know? And there's been a lot of resistance, actually, because we're saying on one hand, there are a lot of inconsistencies, and then on the other, we're going beyond the Urantia book and bringing in, like, new revelation, you know. So some people in the Urantia book community have a problem with new revelation.
Yes,
like,
that's true.
Like Diana talked about, you know, like Diana's talked about with the teaching mission, you know. Teaching mission people feel like they're getting ongoing revelation, which in the Urantia book it does say that is part of our human experience, ongoing revelation.
Yeah.
But now we're kicking into the worldwide religion of love, going beyond the sixth revelation, mm-hmm. to bring out what Gabriel, Hephaestus, and Aphrodite want us to help set up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I know what you mean. Thank you for being honest about that. I will tell you that every book from the Bible on down, people have found echoes or equivalencies in other texts. With the biblical, there's the whole Canaanite mythology with El and Baal and Marduk and Astarte. There are echoes of that mythology in the Bible. And a lot of scholars have concluded that a lot of the stories in the Bible were taken from the regions around them. Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine contains, Unveil contains some material that is from contemporaries, the Book of Mormon. It's something that you could say of any faith system and their holy books.
True. So this is where we feel we're kind of at. We feel that that we have connected again. I mean, it's very unusual for a 21-year-old man to take on a 47-year-old woman and they decide to get married. I mean, we had a real connection that was a spiritual connection, and we knew it. And I took him out to the Ritz-Carlton and the ocean, where we would walk in the sand with Amon when I walked with him, and told Michael this in September of 1991. And for some reason, Hercules, he went with it.
And
he believed me, and we went with it.
What's that?
You both seem like a wonderful couple, and you raised children together, and you are creative together, and you are producing a religion together. So you're doing more than most of
us. Hey, how about it?
We're going to be celebrating 27 years of marriage on July the 13th. We're very happy about
Thank you.
But, you know, Ellen White loved John Harvey Kellogg. Everyone, when you would read anything about her and John, they'd always say that she was his mother, and she just loved him to pieces. And when he was 16, now he lived with her from the age of 12, but when he was 16, he had such a capability mentally that he was writing all of her papers that she was putting out in her pamphlets for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He was writing them at 16. And then when he became a minister of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, he was the one who was teaching all of the other Seventh-day Adventist ministers. He had 100 other ministers that he was giving lectures to every week from the age of about 19, 20 years old up until 2007.
Wow.
He started, he and Ellen began writing the Arantia book around, the actual getting it down onto paper was about 1875 was when it was began. And John had a wonderful way of writing, his style, and he was just brilliant doctor too. She paid for his doctor's education, medical education. But when John was thrown out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and Ellen really was too, they exiled her to Australia for almost 10 years, 100 ministers left with John, Seventh-day Adventist ministers left with him, including Dr. Sadler, who is the one that most people think wrote the Arantia book, but he would have been too young. He was John Harvey Kellogg's nephew.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really an interesting story. And Michael and I now are trying to bring out a new religion. You know, when right before Ellen died, she had had a visit with the Father, with Christ. And she always said that he was by her side so often and would teach her and give her information. Well, you know, I have that same relationship with, if you want to call him Zeus or you call him Jesus or you want to call him Shemesh, he is with me all the time and giving me information and talking to me too. But right before she died, they asked him, when will Christ come again? When will he come again? They wanted to know. Well, I believe he did come, and he came to me on December 19th, 2013. And so, you know, it just seems like it all fits So we're just taking it what they tell us and trying to move on with a new religion now.
And you're progressing very quickly, and you're very focused on love being the what this religion is all about, and you're not dogmatic. You're letting each person find love in their own way and bring that love into the world. So, of course, I'd like to help you with it. What we're going to be doing is I don't fit into, like, who I am and what I do doesn't really fit into many of the cosmic religions. However, it does a little bit. So in theosophy, you have the Elohim. That explains it pretty well. So I'll be using that model, the Elohim, and breaking everything up into sevens, which tied together with certain cosmic rays and certain planets and certain endeavors. So, for instance, the worldwide religion of love would come under Venus and the constellation Taurus, because Taurus is the Elohim. And you and Michael both gave me my proof today. I asked for some sort of signal that you both had the name El in your names.
They said the first letters were EL.
So that was my proof from the universe, because I'd asked for it. We're going to put you there as the speakers for Aphrodite or Venus. And the focus will be on how can the other people involved help make this world a more loving place, and how to guide people in appreciating the love that is already in their life, and for giving more love through their interactions, through their words and so forth, you know, becoming more compassionate and so forth. And of course, everyone is going to have their own particular way of doing this. But if everyone is focused on love more, I can't see that hurting the world. Well, I see it helping the world heal.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
That's right.
So is that okay with you guys? Do you accept
it? We love it. You know, this new religion from Gabriel and Aphrodite from Venus, I mean, this is what's needed, because it's a religion that brings everyone together. There's no diversity. There's no separation. It's all loving everybody, whoever they are, wherever they are.
So in addition to your current show, which will remain, I'm going to aim for in the next few months a monthly panel where we can start discussing the different topics. And because Gerald and Nick Curto are also inspired to a great degree and informed by the Urantia book, I'm putting them in your camp since we're...
Oh, great. Yes, we love them both.
So basically, there you go, more people in the Venus camp, and so that's how we'll start structuring it. So far, I've been working on the Hermes or Mercury portion of this in two ways. One way is through these podcasts and other web things, and the other way is I've been working with theurgists for years, and we've been having a conversation on the podcast, and that's leading to a book project. Where we inform people about theurgy. Theurgy is the ancient art of anchoring the divine into the mundane, into the human sphere. So we're going to be sharing how the ancients did it and how people are doing it today, and this way to help people become more attuned to heaven. So that's Hermes. And with Venus or Aphrodite, the focus is going to be on having more loving interactions with people and with our planet, and also we're going to find a way of helping a particular group of people through our efforts. And I haven't decided yet who will be helping, but we will be helping people who need love in their life in our world because of the tragedy.
Everyone does. Everyone does, Hercules. You know, I'll just mention this one thing. On March the 20th, 2022, we actually feel that was the anniversary, the second anniversary of the Worldwide Religion of Love. We actually feel that more love came into our personal life together. when we celebrated that anniversary. We have been so feeling so compassionate with our friends and our relatives and others, and with each other, more love. I mean, I really feel that the love is there. It's just we've got to show people that they can find it themselves.
So that is what we will do. And in addition to doing it through our actions and through sharing information and inspiration with people, we'll find something concrete in the world that is definitely lacking love, that needs love, and we'll address it personally. I'm also working on several of the other spheres, but not so publicly yet. We'll start there. This talk that we're going to be having with different groups, the Elysium Project for now, that's going to be under Purple or Saturday or Saturn or religion or ritual, structure, all of those things come together. They're usually represented by purple, and they are also very important. That's what the Elysium Project will come under, because we'll be doing all that. We'll be adding structure, and we'll be recognizing through religion, trying to make the world a better place. So I'm looking forward to that adventure. The Unarius folks, who will be participating in our conversations whenever they can a little later, in their concept of Elysium, Elysium is a place in the celestial realms that monitors earthly religions to make sure that they're leading people to higher realms and not getting them stuck in spiritual prison. So definitely going to be working with them as well in ancient Greek thought and in modern Greek old-time thought. Elysium, there are several different Elysiums. One Elysium is where good people go. So if you've lived three good incarnations in ancient Greek thought, you wound up in Elysium, which is a very pleasant place where you live like a perfect to you life, you know, whatever your perfect life is.
Okay, we'll go. We'll sign up.
And then there's another Elysium where mystics go. When you realize the truth of things and you've transcended the need to incarnate, that's an Elysium for mystics. And then there's a third Elysium that I call the glam Elysium. That's if you play a prominent role in the world. And, you know, it would be kind of like the National Enquirer of Elysium. So it's a place where people who made an impact on the world go. So it's a very glamorous place, and they're celebrities and all this type of thing.
I don't think we'll be there.
But we'll be working more on the mystical and the good person part of the Elysium.
That sounds great.
And helping people move past this plane into higher planes.
I just wanted to mention how common really all of the religions really all are. There are commonalities that do bring us all together. I just found out that the statues that we see of Apollo, he has a top knot on his head. I don't know if what you would call it. That's kind of what it looks like to me, of some kind. But they say in some books that the statues of Buddha copied that hairstyle from Apollo, the Greek god.
I have,
and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, there's commonality there.
Yes, I have tons of books in my library, and I've spoken to publishers that have scholars. That's something in the works too, to show how the Greek was mixed with Buddhism at a very early time. And there used to be statues before it was destroyed, but there are plenty of pictures of it, fortunately, of Hercules guarding the Buddha.
Say that again, of Hercules what?
Guarding the Buddha. There's Hercules.
Oh, guarding the Buddha?
Guarding the Buddha who's in meditation. Hercules survived in Buddhism as Vajrapani. And also the twin brother of Krishna in Hinduism, Balarama. So he's very much in the Hindu and the Buddhist faiths, and there's all sorts of esoteric knowledge, like in the Vajra, the lightning bolt that Vajrapani has, and different types of Vajra meditations. Yeah, that's Hercules in their tradition.
Now, what do you think about this that they tell us, they tell us that Dionysus was actually Gautama Buddha also, that the Greek name was Dionysus in his Greek, but that he was actually Gautama and the Lord of the world, of the Theosophists. And that's something that just really strikes me as odd, but I just wondered if you had ever heard of that.
I've heard of that.
They say he was also Diogenes.
I've heard that. I've heard also that he was Jesus. That's a conversation for another day. But,
oh, sure.
okay. I've come to believe that the differences in the charts of who people were and are, it's some of the divine titles are positions and some aren't personal names. And
right,
we don't
right. That's absolutely right. Yes.
So, you know,
yes, that's true too.
Hercules, for instance, he was the gatekeeper of heaven for a while, just like Saint Peter, he was the god of ascension and initiation. In the Theosophist, he's now one of the creators. He's a creator god. It's the same entity evolving throughout their adventure in mortality and immortality. But there have also been, as the Romans said, over 44 Herculeses that they knew about. One Dionysus need not be all Dionysuses.
I see.
Dionysus might have been Gautama Buddha. Another Dionysus might have been part of the constellation, you know, that guided Jesus through his life. It's very, very possible. And we're composite beings in many ways, and there are different levels to who we are. I think that we have accompaniment to life, our guides, sometimes we call them our gods, our saints, they can be, in a sense, said to be who we are as well, because they contribute to the totality of our being. But to somebody who's not aware of that, it sounds like people are just claiming to be Cleopatra or Napoleon. And that is.
Oh, there you go, Cleopatra. That's me.
There you go.
Put me down. I'll do it. I'll be her.
And
I'm
hoping that by comparing notes on these things that we can get some clarity. And again, we'll only get out of it what we can get out of it at that particular time. But it'll be a search for truth. And because everyone's generally on the same path, we'll define that path a little bit more. Show that people have choice, that something that you say might resonate with people more powerfully than something I say, so they can go in that direction. They're not just stuck. I got everything except this. I don't agree with this. So the whole thing is malarkey, you know. Mm-hmm. And also I want to show through this, I was talking to Nick Curto a little while ago, that we're not going to agree about everything, and that's okay. People can have different perspectives. The important thing is to share them. And the important thing is to show that even if you don't agree, there's still enough common ground to do something fantastic together. And I think the worldwide religion of love is going to be the catalyst.
I'll just say, I was Cleopatra, and Michael was one of my children, one of my four children. She had four children, you know. She had Caesarion by Caesar, of course, and then she had with Antony the two twins, and then she had a fourth child, a younger one, Ptolemy. But the Alexander was Michael.
There you go. And we have
there you go. I knew someone told you to say Cleopatra.
We have a minute
left. This is the truth program.
Yes, we have a minute left. You can kindly share your contact info again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, thank you again, Hercules. What a joy, what a pleasure. Thank you so much. And our YouTube channel is Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and A-N-D, Diane with two N's. Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. We have about 114 videos of our celestial team meetings. We also have a number of Maitreya messages, music, and we have artwork, too, on that channel. And like I said, search Reverend Michael Duncan under Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, and other streaming and download platforms for our 5 Urantia book, songs, inspired songs. And hey, if you want to email us, it's Michael Duncan, that's D-U-N-K-I-N 1@hotmail.com.
Oh, and Hercules, one more thought.
Sure.
Cleopatra did begin a new religion in her life.
Yes.
The religion of Serapis. She brought the Egyptians and the Greek together to worship together, and that was the love of her life to have done that.
Thank you for sharing that, and that is a topic on the list, so we will go there. Thanks to both of you.
That was the new religion she brought forth.
So now you're bringing forth another one.
Yes.
And I will talk to you very soon. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Hercules.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless.